Today we begin a series of conversations on what we are calling crunchable contrast. The reason why we're using this particular adjective is because we really do want to drive home the point that it is the crunching of contrast that is actually manifesting the physical reality that you're inhabiting at this red hot minute. So, as we've talked about, when we've talked about the non-existent process for manifesting with the non-existent individual steps, and the reason we say non-existent is because this all happens at the same time, but we break it into pieces in order to be able to talk about it. So first, there is contrast. Contrast wanted, contrast unwanted. This amplifies desire. And from that desire, ideas rise up in imagining that then when you give it the green light, flow into intending, which then as you allow, takes form as manifesting. Contrast is at the beginning. It's in the middle and it's in the end. You are here for contrast. That's what you woke up for. Delight, which is the word that we use when we say, you're here for the delight of it. You could call it other things. You're here for the joy of it. You're here for the fun of it. You're here for the this or the that of it. It doesn't really matter. You can define delight however you wish to, but that's why you're here. Delight is contrast. So if we go back to how we've laid out the way we see how manifesting works outside of this particular process, the non-existent process. Your unconditional love. Now, when we say there's only one thing that we will hang our hat on, and we will say we're absolutely positively right, you are unconditional love becoming more of yourself through the manifesting of form. Everything else is subjective. This, however, we hang our hat on. As unconditional love, you start off as formless. You're just light, but light without contrast. There is no darkness that the light is penetrating. There's just light. But you desire more. And so the light splinters through the prism of your desire. And like actual sunlight, starlight would do, or any kind of light, as this light breaks through this prism, you see the difference between red all the way up to violet. So if you were to sit and watch a rainbow and look, you will see that it's not just one red and it's not just one orange. There are lots and lots of different shades and different textures and colors. From our perspective, it's not color, although color is part of it, but color really has to do with your eyes. It's freedom, joy, delight, magic, wonder, amazement, peace, abundance. This is how, through the prism of your desire, this is how the unconditional love that you are begins to start to take thicker, more defined form. First, it breaks into this array. Then, from that array, thoughts begin to form. Our thoughts become more and more solid. And remember, because you are a language-based entity, for you, thoughts are language-based, but thoughts are not language-based. Some thoughts are language, not all of them. And you've basically taken thoughts and sort of wrapped them in the idea of language. So you'll think the brown dog is laying there as the quick fox jumps over him. That's language. But you have a real knowledge of what a brown dog is that's quick, or a fox that's lazy, or a fox that's quick. Language is the use that we're having at this moment to communicate dog and brown and fox and quick and lazy. But you have an intrinsic knowledge of those things based on your experience. that is not really about language. And if you know more than one language, you're familiar with this, because in your mind, you can think of the different words that are assigned to those variables: dog, fox, brown, quick, lazy. And they all have different words in different languages. Some of them are similar to others, but they're all different. As we're talking about this, what we're doing is literally taking form and quite powerfully using contrast to further cultivate it. Then form takes shape first as thought, let's say, wrapped with language, and also in other ways, which are a little bit too fine of a comb here. But as we go deeper into this, then you begin to actually see an actual dog. One that is happy to see you, whose tail is wagging, and walks over to you and happens to be brown. And then perhaps off in the distance, you'll see a fox warily looking at you and the dog, who dashes off, demonstrating his quickness. That form, your body, your eyes that can see and smell, perhaps, and touch and pet and talk to the dog, who has a tail that can wag and a mouth that can bark, and then a fox in the distance who stops to look, turns, and then dashes off, his tail, big fluffy tail, flying in the wind. These are all forms that came from contrast. The dog is not the same thing as the fox. You are not the same thing as the dog or the fox. There are three individual breathing, heart-beating entities. And it's good. Now, the fox undoubtedly is wary. That's a form of unwanted contrast. Now, from the fox perspective, if you think about yourself, for example, and you're wary about something, and you're concerned about it, and a little bit worried, you might think that's kind of a negative contrast that you should probably work on and do something about. The fox, however, a wary fox who's being cautious, is actually following a feel better. The dog who's wagging his tail as a way of giving a marker to one of the pack, and you are one of the pack, you're probably the leader of the pack, is also in the middle of feel better contrast. If the tail dips because the dog is itself becoming a little cautious and backs up and maybe growls a little, you will likely consider that to be unwanted contrast rising up from the dog. Why did the happy dog all of a sudden get cautious and back up and lower its tail and start growling? You will look at this as being unwanted contrast. The dog, however, is following its intuition. Maybe there's something behind you that you don't know about. Maybe there's another fox, or maybe there's a bear that just came down and just wants a little bite to eat. Thank you very much. And isn't really looking to cause any trouble. Just hand over your goods and he'll be on his way. And the dog is saying, that's a bear. It's a really large mammal. We should be careful. The dog is not having unwanted contrast. The dog is following its intuition, and it's a feel better. It feels better to be slightly growling in a slightly menacing way with the tail down, because there's a bear, and that will tell the bear, hey, there's something here that is possibly going to bite you. So maybe you should just move along. And then you may turn and look at the bear and think, that bear is so cuddly and cute. It looks just like a bear I saw on television one time that hugged somebody. And then you remember that bear has claws that are really long and sharp. And it's a big animal. Maybe I'll just give it this watermelon and we can all be on our way. These are all different kinds of contrast. What's interesting is neither the bear nor the fox nor the dog are ever at any point experiencing unwanted contrast. They're all in alignment with their manifesting forms. You, however, are smarty pants, and you have discovered how to, as someone who possesses a Homo sapiens body, you have discovered how to react to environmental factors and determine wanted and unwanted and make decisions based on that. This is not criticism, but it's likely that unlike the dog or the bear or the fox, that you have put a lot of emphasis on the unwanted contrast and determine it to be an alien that needs to be fought instead of realizing that it's there to help you. In the same way that the dog is being helped by the fact that it has a certain reaction to a bear, and the fox has been helped by the fact that it has a certain reaction to seeing a human and a dog cavorting, that it might be time to just kind of move on. And the bear knows that if there's a human there, there's going to be food. And you probably have a watermelon that you might want to hand over. And that would be really nice. You, however, have the ability to analyze the situation, think about prior experiences, gather up data, begin to assess it, and then begin to analyze it and come up with ideas that, whether or not you like them, they tell you this is this thing that you should be doing. Bears, foxes, and dogs don't do that. The reason why we're drawing this contrast is because we really do, and this is the heart of this series, what you consider to be unwanted contrast is actually here to help you. Dogs, foxes and bears know this. You may have forgotten. You knew this once upon a time, but you've likely forgotten, and we're here to remind you. So as we go through this series of conversations, we're going to be talking more about the wanted and the unwanted. We'll talk about how contrast relates to your body, to cash, to your beloved, to the way in which you self-express and how you go about in the world, and how that, in fact, you're here to use contrast positively. And when we say use contrast positively, we do not mean turn contrast into, we don't mean lemons into lemonade. We mean recognizing that the acidity and the bitterness of a lemon actually is very useful. And it can be used to make lemonade, but it doesn't always have to be turned sweet. We're inviting you to change your mind about the nature of contrast and begin to see that what it really is the fuel. The fuel that is manifesting reality's underlying reason for existing. But first and foremost, contrast is what you are interacting with. The table that is not the chair, the dog that is not the fox, the dog, the fox, the table, the chair, the watermelon, and the bear, who are not you, that you can see, hear, smell, and in the case of the watermelon, taste, that you can touch. We don't recommend you touch the fox or the bear, but you can touch all the other things. This contrast is what you're here for. And this contrast, like the watermelon, is crunchable. And we recommend you use it to your advantage and to begin to engage with your imagination and to begin to consider something that you might not have considered before. That your physical reality is, in fact, manifesting for you on your behalf through contrast and to your desire. And that there's nothing here to be afraid of. That doesn't mean fear won't rise up as part of contrast, but that fear too is helping you. And you might say, well, the dog is afraid of the bear. Probably not. The dog has turned in the direction of what feels better, which from a human interactive, interoperative, interconnected way will look like fear. Ex post facto. And you may think, yes, but I was standing there and my heart started racing. I was afraid. You don't really know that you're afraid. What you do know is that your body is preparing to move you out of the way. And so it was pumping adrenaline into your system. And you may say that was a fear-based reaction. We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't say that. Now, we're not there. We don't have bears and we don't have watermelons or foxes or dogs. Or tables or chairs, for that matter, or bodies. But when we look at this example, the adrenaline gets you up and gets you moving. You don't need it for very long. And it will recede when it's no longer needed. But if you don't essentially turn a misdemeanor into a felony by making it wrong to have had the fear, or to make it be a symbol or a significant of something terrible, horrible that has gone on. What you end up with is opportunities and possibilities that you haven't ever considered that will turn out to be quite powerful and quite helpful and quite delicious indeed. So the final thing we'll say here today before we go into our process is that we really do invite you to pay attention to the crunchability of contrast, that it's here to be used to crunch down on the stuff that is wanted from your ex post facto analysis and the stuff that is unwanted from your ex post facto analysis. They're the same. You're the one who does all the slicing and dicing into wanted and unwanted. And as we'll discuss tomorrow, unwanted contrast can, in fact, be more useful than wanted contrast. Not overall, but in specific moments, can be. So with that, we move into this process we're offering. And as with all of our processes, this is simply an offering. It's not the way to do this. It is a way. And we invite you to either join in with us or to step aside and simply watch and listen to see what we're doing and decide what pieces and parts, if any, you wish to take and use for yourself. And with that, we begin the process with these following words.